getting into part two of this, the sons of God, and I love it when prophet preaches in the morning because it makes my job easier, because then I can just bounce off of what he preached the morning. And that's exactly what I'll be doing tonight. Amen. And so while prophet was preaching this morning, he started with the first scripture, and I thought, okay, it's just the first scripture, it's good. I'm still okay because I've got the same thing in my notes. And then he went into the second scripture, and I thought, okay, no, it's only two, it's fine. And then he went into the third and the fourth. I thought, dear God, what am I going to do tonight? Amen. But what he has gotten into in this morning is something that must be driven into your heart until it penetrates into the deepest part, the core of who you are, until it penetrates into your spirit being and it becomes revelation, so that you can rise up in the light of his word, in the light of his truth. Because only once that have happened can I go out and demonstrate kingdom power. And so that is exactly what I'll be doing. I'm going to take one thing that he have said and I'm going to drive that thing a bit deeper. Are you guys with me? And so I would like to kick off this part two tonight by making a statement. And when I'm making this statement, I want everyone for a moment to look at me. I want you to listen carefully to this statement and really think about these words. Jesus came to reveal the Father, and the Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Jesus came to reveal the Father, and the Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus. So if I am filled with the Holy Spirit, who must I reveal? Wrong. Yes. So with that thought in mind, let me get into scripture, and I'm going to give you a scripture buffet tonight again. And for those who are hungry, can I just come and dish up? Let those who hear, hear. But those, if you fall asleep, that's also okay. Your spirit will be receiving. Amen. And I will, nice. My filter is working. That was close. That I'm live stream. I must remember because that was close. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was close. No, that would have been bad. Okay, so put on the screen for me Hebrews chapter 1, Amplified Classic. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Let's start from verse 1. And obviously, this is going to be a message, one thing, one thought, one principle flowing to another. So if you miss the first part of it, if you miss the second part or the third, you will miss the entire message. So stay with me as we go through this. Are you guys with me? Amen. And it says, in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways God spoke of all to our forefathers in and by the prophets. Verse 2, but in the last of these days he has spoken to us in the person of a son, say a son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things. Remember that. Also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. Verse 3, and I love this, is one of those verses that we as born-again believers should know off by heart. And it says that he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being the outraying or radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power, when he had by offering himself accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. Verse 4, taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to angels as to the glorious name which he has inherited is different from and more excellent than this. Verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you, established you in an official sonship relation. Say sonship relation. With kingly dignity. And again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. So this passage of Scripture clearly states that Jesus Christ is the sole expression. That word sole means that he is the only one, means that there can be no other. But that word soul means that he is the only one, there can be no other. But. And it says that he is the sole expression of the glory and of the image of the invisible God, of the unseen God, that he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine, that he is the perfect imprint, the very image of God's nature. He is the very sole expression, the revelation of the glory and the image of the invisible God. And then the Father goes on to say something powerful, and he says that, listen, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. Say a son. Now please bear in mind, as we get into this, that Jesus never called God, God, except by explanation to the Sadducees and Pharisees. He never called God, God. And as I've explained in a previous message, that the Father or God never called Jesus, Jesus. He always called him, come on, he always called him Son. But to explain, you shall call him Jesus, Emmanuel. God with us, wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What was God doing here? He was giving through an extremely important principle. He's saying that, listen, this is not just a God and some name relationship. This is indeed a Father and Son relationship. Say a Father and Son relationship. Come on, Jesus many times stated, I need you to stay with me, I'm going somewhere with this. Jesus many times stated that the words that I speak is not my own words, but the words of my Father. The works that I am doing is not my own works. The works that you see in the words that I speak is the Father in me doing the works. Meaning he's driving in the principle and the point that this is a Father and Son relationship. Until this relationship is established, you can and will not produce kingdom power. It requires a Father-Son relationship. Say Father-Son relationship. Speaking about the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. But now we have a situation. Because the Bible says in the book of John chapter 1 verse 12, King James, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. Now let's just stop there for a moment, because that word power comes from the Greek word exousia, which means authority, which means that it is now your divine rights. It is now part of your constitutional rights. It is now your inheritance. He has given you the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believes on his name. And I can take that same verse and I can bounce it off of Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 to verse 7 in the New King James. And this is Paul the Apostle speaking to the church in Galatia. And he's saying, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but he is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. There is indeed something that is known as a set time, as an appointed time. And he carries on and he's saying, but even we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But at the fullness, but when the fullness of time had come, please understand that he is speaking in a time to the church, and he's saying, but when the fullness of time had come, this thing has already taken place, past tense, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, as prophet have stated this morning, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are not a slave, but a son. You are not a slave, but a son. You are not a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. But now I can couple that verse with that passage of scripture with something else very powerful. Romans chapter 8, NIV, verse 14 to 17. Romans chapter 8 from verse 14. Listen to this, NIV. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children. I know it says here in the NIV, children, I rather like, don't go there now, but the King James and the New King James will say the sons of God. However, when it comes to the chapter of Romans chapter 8, I prefer the NIV. For me, it drives the point that Paul is really trying to make. But nonetheless, let's keep it in the NIV. For those who are led by the... Are you led by the Spirit of God? For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children or the sons of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you should live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are indeed God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. And Paul continues and he says that I consider that our present sufferings are not worth. He's placing a value to this thing. Worth, value. That our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed, that will be expressed through us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children, the sons of God to be made revealed. In other words, to be expressed. I don't know if someone is listening. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. So, according to the book of Hebrews, and according to the book of Galatians that I've just gone through, and according to the book of Romans, scripture interpreting scripture tonight. If Jesus Christ is heir of all things, and if He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outweighing or radiance of the divine, the perfect imprints, the very image of God's nature, upholding all things by His mighty word of power. If Jesus Christ is the sole expression of the glory and the image of the only true living God, and we have become heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ, having been adopted as sons and daughters, having now been born from above, born from the Word that lives and abides forever, then like our Savior Jesus Christ, according to the book of John chapter 14, 12, Jesus Christ speaking, saying, very truly I tell you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. He is making a statement, and He's saying that I am going away, and you will become my extended hands. So according to that verse, and everything else that I've just given you, that if He is the sole expression, and we have become heirs of Jesus Christ, then as our Lord and eternal Savior Jesus Christ, we then have now become the sole expression of the glory and of the image of the invisible God. Listen, and please bear in mind that when I say we, I'm speaking about the ecclesia. I'm speaking about the church. I am speaking about the body of Christ that must come forth in the anointing, in the corporate anointing as prophet so eloquently preached this morning. It must come forth in the power of the Spirit of the living God. We must come forth in the power of the Spirit of His Son, becoming a divine expression, a soul expression of the divine. I'm speaking about you now becoming that light being. The outraying or radiance of God's nature. You have now become His perfect imprint, meaning He has superimposed Himself upon you. The very image of God's nature. That is through you now that He will uphold all things in and through His mighty word of power that is on the inside of you. Please bear in mind, I'm going somewhere with this. Because right now, here, right now, every one of you, even connecting over live stream, you carry the word in flesh. But you see, it cannot stay there. The word must be pushed back into the spirit to produce power. I'll break it open. Are you guys with me? Amen. We sit with a problem in this day and age. And that is that the church has forgotten who she is. The church truly has forgotten who she is. But please understand that the church, like King Jesus Christ, has now become the king, the priest, and the prophet. Prophet explained it this morning. Can I have an amen to that at least? Are we still on the same page? Are you guys with me? That the church has now become the king, the priest, and the prophet through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Say the Holy Spirit. And He did this with one purpose. And that is for us to come and take dominion. And to reign and to rule here on this earth. As God's sons and His daughters. Bringing forth the image of the Father. What does that exactly mean? Listen, Prophet quoted the verse this morning. Remember this. I want you to remember who you are as a church. Put on the screen for me 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, New King James. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, New King James. And it says, but you are a chosen generation, that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Listen to this. And it says, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen, the Bible makes it clear that He is the King of... Come on, I want you to say it. The King of... So if the Bible says that He is the King of Kings, then we must ask the question, who are the kings being spoken of? The Bible says that He is the Lord of? Come on, say it. He's the Lord of? Then we must ask the question, who are the lords being spoken of here? Can I make the next statement? The Bible says that He is the God of? You are now seated in heavenly dimensions, in heavenly places, in Christ. And just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, the Bible says that even so, in exactly the same way, we should now walk in that newness of life. Because if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. I am telling you that it's time for the church to come forth in the image on the glory of the invisible God. It is time for the church to become the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outward radiance of the invisible God, that you must stand as a perfect imprint, the very image of His nature. Are you guys with me? Now, let me show you something out of Scripture to really drive this principle into your hearts even a little bit deeper. And I think that you will love this part of it. I don't have a lot of time left. And there's still so much. Put on the screen for me Luke chapter 20. New King James. Verse 20. Let's start from verse 20. Luke chapter 20 verse 20. New King James. And bear in mind that this is the Lord Jesus Christ addressing the Pharisees. He's addressing the Sadducees. That is trying to entrap Him. They are setting a trap because they're trying to catch Him out. Amen? Say, but God. And it says, so they watched Him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous, that they might seize on his words in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. Verse 21. Then they asked him, saying, Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly, and that you do not show personal favoritism, but teach the way of God in truth. And they're asking a question in verse 22, and it's a deceitful question with deceitful intent. And it says, is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Verse 23, but he perceived their craftiness and said to them, why do you test me? Verse 24, show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription, say whose image and inscription does it have? They answered and said, Caesar's. Verse 25, and he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, meaning give to him what belongs to him. But, and to God the things that are God's, meaning give to God what rightfully belongs to God. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees set the trap for Jesus. They hated him because he was more powerful, famous. They envied him in every aspect of the word. Are you guys with me? And so this time they came up with this foolproof plan to trap him. And they must have given this plan a considerable amount of thought. What did they do? You know, they would wait until Jesus was surrounded by many people. And while the Roman soldiers would stand by, and then they would come and they would say, you know, Jesus, you are a very good teacher. You teach rightly and you teach the truth. And that there is no favorites when it comes to you. But answer us this one question. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay taxes or not? Amen. And they're asking a question that they thought he could only answer yes or no to. Because if he answers yes, you should pay taxes, it would have caused an uproar among the congregation. And he would have been arrested because as a result of that. If he says, no, it's not lawful, do not pay taxes to Caesar, then the Roman citizens or the Roman soldiers would have arrested him. And so either or, the Pharisees thought that we've got him now, because he can only answer yes or no. And so they would rid themselves of the Lord Jesus Christ, wash themselves of him. Are you guys with me? And so they asked, Teacher, is it lawful? Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus responds and he's saying, who have a coin for me? Give me a coin. And by using this denarius, Jesus preached one of his shortest yet most powerful sermons. Are you guys with me? They gave him a denarius and he said, whose image, say whose image, and description is on the coin? And they answered, Caesar's. And Jesus said, render then to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Listen, there is so much spiritual significance locked up in just that one little statement. You see, the coin belonged to Caesar because it had the image of Caesar. Let that sink in for a moment. The coin belonged to Caesar because it carried the image of Caesar. But now Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't just speak about Caesar. He went on and he also spoke about God. Are you guys with me? So in context of what I'm saying, please remember Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 and 27 in the King James. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, and God created man in his own, in the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. Say image. Say again, say image. Which means that anything that carries the image of Christ naturally belongs to Christ. Whatever carries the image of Christ naturally belongs to Christ. Listen, I'm going to say that again. Whatever carries the image of Christ belongs to Christ. Man, as born again believers, sons and daughters of the Most High God, you are filled with His Holy Spirit. And because of that, you carry His image, because there are some, still some sitting here that doubting whether they carry the image of Christ. Are you filled with His Spirit? That is the Spirit of His Son. Are you still with me? It says in the book of Galatians chapter 4, that He sent forth the Spirit of His Son. So are you filled with the Holy Spirit? That is the Spirit of His Son. Which means that you now become carriers and bearers of His image. Say image. The Bible says in the second book of Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, New King James, but we all with unveiled face. Now let's just stop there. What does it mean when I say unveiled face? Remember when I previously preached and I said that the shepherds of old at nighttime would build a sheep's fold out of sticks and thorn bushes and leaves, a safe place. And at night they would gather the sheep into the sheep's fold. And then the shepherd would go and lay down at the entrance of the sheep's fold, which means that the moment that the shepherd lays down, he becomes the door. But now Jesus Christ speaks of Himself as the shepherd, the good shepherd. We find this in the book of John chapter 10, verse 10 and 11. King James, New King James, doesn't matter. It says, but the thief has not come except to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have come, says the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Then He continues to say that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. What is He saying? He's saying that there will come a time that I will lay down. And when I lay down, I will become the door, so that you can now once again come through Me, who is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, boldly before the throne room of grace, that you can now boldly step in the Holy of Holies. And that will happen the moment that I lay down my life. That is when I will become the door, which means that the moment that He laid down His life, and when He breathed His last breath, and He said that it is finished, the veil was torn in the temple here on earth, but there was a veil that was torn in heaven, and that veil that was torn in heaven was the body of Jesus Christ. And so He has become the door. The veil was torn so that we can now go beyond the veil. And so Paul is using that and having an understanding of that yet in the second book of Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. And he's saying, and but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we tend to think we know what's written here, and listen to this. And we speak like this, and we are being changed. No. Paul uses a very powerful word here. We're not being changed into the same image. Being transformed into the same image. Being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory. And I love the latter part of this verse. It says, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, it is by the Spirit of God that we bear the image of Christ. Are you guys with me? The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, NIV, Romans chapter 8 verse 9 to 11, and it says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit that lives within you. Are you guys with me? And the Bible says again, are we still together? The point being this is that Jesus is saying, give to the world what belongs to the world, but God wants what rightfully belongs to Him. And what rightfully belongs to Him is each and everything and everyone that carries the image of His Son, the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, King James. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, King James. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine it to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Are you guys with me? I'm driving in a point. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. The Bible says in the first book of Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, and this is out of the New King James. First book of Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, it says, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Another word, rather, transformed. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So that when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable. How do I become steadfast and immovable? It's when I have gained the revelation that I am now a divine soul expression of the glory of God, the light being the outraying or radiance of the divine, that I have now become a perfect imprint, the very image of God's nature. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Each and every one of us once bore the image of this world. But the moment that we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior of our lives, we got filled with the Holy Spirit and thereby became partakers of that divine nature. Are you guys with me? Say divine nature. And so also the bearers of the image of Christ. Amen. Put on the screen for me Romans chapter 10. I want to show you this. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. New King James. And it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen, it cannot just stay in the heart. Cannot just stay in the flesh. It's not enough. Once I have acknowledged that I need Jesus Christ, I must confess it with my mouth. Words must come out so that it can connect and go back into the Spirit. The Spirit works with the Word. Why? Because the Word came out of the Spirit, which means that I now need to send the Word back into the Spirit. And it says here that for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The actual act takes place the moment that I confess. Are you guys with me? And it carries on and it says, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Listen to verse 13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I need you to understand that you carry the Word in flesh, but it cannot remain there. You must push it back into the Spirit. It is known as spiritual condensation. Maybe I shouldn't go there now. Put on the screen for me Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, King James. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ. And as prophet, listen, that was a revelation for me when he said that Christ in you is plural. Come on, how many of you always thought it's just me? See, that's the problem. I'm going somewhere with this message. Stay with me. Because that is the way that we read the word. And if you read the word with only you in mind, this will become a fault-finding word, where this must be a reflection of Christ. Are you guys with me? Verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Listen, your life must be glorious because Christ is in you. Your future must be bright because Christ is in you. I'm telling you that the devil does not want you to gain knowledge of this revelation. He does not want you to gain knowledge of this truth. The very reason why he hates you is because you have been made in the expression of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the true living God. Are you guys with me? Now please remember this, that when you carry the name of Jesus, you carry the image of Jesus. I don't need to bless you. I only need to place the name of Christ upon you. Because when I place the name of Jesus upon you, let me explain this. The word name comes from the Greek word anomo, and it means the revelation and therefore the manifestation of something's character, likeness, and image. It is not name like I've got a name. So in this case, if I carry the name of Jesus, it means it is the manifestation and the expression of his character, of his likeness, and of his image. Don't take it small that when you say in the name of Jesus, it means that when I say in the name of Jesus, that I'm stepping into the revelation of his character, his likeness, and his image. It is me now acknowledging that it's no longer me in this thing. It is now Christ that I've taken control, and by the Spirit that I am now moving. Are you guys with me? You've been made, listen, it is time for the church to come forth in the image and in the glory of the invisible God. Amen. Now, this brings another question. If I've been made in his image and in his likeness, in his character, I have to ask the question, what does Jesus look like right now? Now, there are many scriptures that I don't have time for, that I can run through one after another. But for me, the most powerful description of the Lord Jesus Christ, bearing in mind that you've been made in his character, likeness, and image, is found in the book of Revelation, in the very first chapter. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, New King James. Just quickly. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. And it says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And here we come to the description of the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like of the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. Now listen, like everything else in Scripture, this carries great spiritual significance. I'm not going to be breaking open every verse, but I want to focus on this thing because prophet touched on them this morning. Garments, mantles. Are you guys with me? Jesus' clothing being described here shows that he was a person of absolute dignity and authority. You see, long garments, especially the type of long garments that you would have worn in the days of old, will spoke of great status and of authority, which means that when you now come onto salvation, please bear in mind that you receive new garments, garments of dignity and divine authority instead of shame and reproach. You receive garments of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. I'm telling you that filthy robes have then been removed and you have received royal robes, as we've seen in the book of Zechariah chapter 3. Let me quickly go there. I'm going to take something out of this. I hope time is going to... Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1, New King James, just quickly. Say the image of God. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel. Now bear in mind that angel is written in, it's a capital A. Are we together? And I've explained that every time when you see this, it is a theophany of the Lord Jesus Christ making an appearance in the Old Testament. I'll prove it. It's right here in this passage of Scripture. Are you guys with me? Before the angel. In other words, he's standing before Jesus Christ of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Verse 2. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with a filthy garment and was standing before the angel. Verse 4, then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you." Who has the power to remove iniquity, your shame and your reproach? Again, I state, he's standing in front of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, this day, this is removed from you, Joshua. He's speaking in a spiritual dimension. Are we together? He was standing there. He's not physically seeing filthy garments of iniquity. It must have been a spiritual thing that is taking place. I want you to bear that in mind. Are you guys with me? And said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And you can read the rest. The rest is actually very good. Amen. I don't have time to go through it all. I want to break it open. I just don't have the time. Please understand that garments has a voice and that it speaks a specific language. You have conversations with mantles. Are you guys with me? Let me give you an example. In biblical times, you could easily recognize a blind man by the type of robe that they would wear. Those who were blind would wear a very specific type of robe, so that when you see that individual with that robe, you will know that individual is blind. It was as an identification to tell those in the environment around him that this individual is indeed blind. In this day and age, what do we have? We have people walking with a walking stick called a cane. But more specifically, it is called an ID cane. It is so that this individual can identify with his surroundings, and the surroundings can identify with him. Are you guys with me? Say an ID cane. Now in the spirit, you wear specific garments. And these garments can be seen as spiritual ID garments. You see, when Jesus spoke to Joshua the high priest, he was speaking about his garments. And he said that there's iniquity upon you. He said your filthy garments is iniquity that was removed when Jesus rebuked him. Are you guys with me? And so those filthy garments was replaced with new garments. Garments of royalty. Garments of righteousness. Say garments of righteousness. Listen, please understand that the garments that you now wear carries a very specific image, an ID. And that is the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning that when demons now look at you, they no longer see you, but they see the one that you are clothed with. with, and that is Jesus Christ. The Bible indeed says in Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Again, I say that when demons now look at you, they no longer see you. You only still see you. But they see who you have put on. It's here in Scripture. There's it on the screen. You have put on Christ. You have put on Christ. Are you guys with me? Your iniquity, your shame, your reproach has been removed. As the Bible says, that if any man be in Christ, that all things have been taken away. Your filthy garments was removed, and that all things have been made new. You have now received new royal garments of righteousness. Can I have an amen to that? Revelation chapter 1 verse 14. I'm still busy. I'm not going to be breaking open every one of these verses. Revelation chapter 1 verse 14, New King James. And it says, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. Verse 15, his feet were like fine brass, as refined in a furnace, and all of these things carry spiritual significance. And his voice as the sound of many waters. If you ever wondered what you sound like in the Spirit. Revelation chapter 1 verse 16, he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in the strength. I think if you must for a moment see yourself, what you look like spiritually, you will run away. Are you guys with me? Do you know what and who you truly are? You have been transformed in the same image, having been filled with the Holy Spirit of His Son. Do you know who and what you are? Now the Bible says this, that we have this treasure in earthen vessel. What exactly does that mean? And I'm going to say something, and I will really need you to listen. If you want to produce power, this is how it works. There is indeed something known as spiritual condensation. How does condensation work in the natural, the cycle? Okay? The sun draws up water. The water becomes clouds. It rains. Repeat. But now there's something known as spiritual condensation. Meaning that I receive salvation, Spirit comes upon, I receive the Word. I must give out the Word, it produces the same power. But many stop at receiving the Word. Let me explain. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God hovered, moved, brought it over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be lights. The Word was released into the spirits. And because the Word was released into the spirits, creation was the result. Okay, let me explain it like this. The Bible records in the account in the book of Luke, the angel Gabriel appearing unto Mary. And he's saying, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Amen. You are blessed among women. And the Bible says that she's like, what the heck's going on here? What manner of greeting is this? And the angel said, do not be afraid. And he gives her and repeats and brings to fulfillment the prophecy spoken of in Isaiah chapter 7, that there shall a son shall be born of a virgin. And he's saying, Mary, you shall conceive and you shall bring forth a son. Are you guys with me? And that you shall call his name Jesus. And she's saying, but how can this be since I know no man? And it says that the spirits will come upon you, and the shadow of the highest will come upon you. and you will conceive and bring forth a son, and he shall be called the Son of God. Are you guys with me? And she said, let it be according to your word. So here we have Mary, and the word is in flesh. Are you guys with me? Meaning like where the flesh now walks, the word walks. And because the word walks where the flesh goes, I can now say, Lazarus, come forth. And it must submit because of the word in flesh. I can now go and say, take your mat, stand up and walk. And it must submit because of the word in flesh. I can now say, blind eyes, open. And it must submit. Why? Because of the word in flesh. The thing is, I must speak it. I must send it back into the spirit where it came from, so that it can produce the power that it's supposed to produce. I don't know if someone is getting what I'm trying to say here. Are you guys with me? You see, the moment that I speak His word, this is the problem that we have. Let me explain it like this. Yes, time. Let me explain it like this. When you read this, many people think this is just words written on paper. But we forget that these were words that were spoken by men of old, speaking Holy Spirit inspired words. And they would have scribes that would record it. And so when I read this, it is not words that was just written. It was once spoken, and it once did produce power, but now it must produce power again. And the only way that it can produce power again is when I receive this into my spirit. It must come off of the pages into my spirit, man, where it becomes alive on me. Listen, and then the rhema word of God, the spoken word of God, the moment that I speak His word, I release it back into the spirit. And it must produce the power. It must produce the intended results. It is word in flesh. Come on now. The Spirit came upon, the word was released, and creation was the results. Amen. Words were spoken by anointed men and women of God. Words were recorded. I must now exactly condensation, spiritual, take it again from the pages into my spirit. I must now speak it again so that power can be released. Power cannot be released unless I speak His word by His spirit. Power cannot be released unless I speak His word by faith. Jesus Christ Himself, the living word, had to go back to the spirit for power to be released. It came into the flesh. Mary gave birth. Jesus is your name. But God called Him Son. But the Son had to die, and He died upon a cross, and the word was sent back into the spirit, and power was restored back to the church because the word was sent back into the spirit, which means that if I follow the same principle, power must be released. Amen. There is indeed something that is known as chromosomal compatibility. What is that? Every one of you sitting here right now carries 23 chromosomes from your father's side and 23 from your mother's side, which means that you are a perfect combination of the two. If you look at me and you look at Josh, my son, he's got my eyes, but he's got his mother's mouth. He's got my ears, her nose. He's got my hairline, but her hair color. He's a perfect combination between the two. Amen? He will speak like me though, but with her attitude. Amen. I need to close off. Give me 2 minutes. Almost done. But now we get something that is known as spiritual chromosomal compatibility. Which means that when we walk on this earth, don't walk on your mother's side. Walk on your father's side. You see, Jesus walked on this earth on his mother's side. But he walked on water on his father's side. Jesus was a carpenter on his mother's side. Joseph wasn't his father. But he died on a cross and was resurrected on his father's side. You will heal the sick on your father's side. You will open the blind eyes on your father's side. You will open the deaf ears on your father's side. Do not walk it on this earth on your mother's side. Walk it on this earth on your father's side. I hope someone is hearing me this night, because there's a church, an end time church, a remnant that God is raising up, and that is about to come forth as a sole expression of the glory of God, of his outraying or radiance of the divine, as the perfect imprints, the very image of God's glory and of his power. Is that you, church? As they have asked the Lord Jesus Christ, are you the one, or should we wait for another? So I am asking you the same question tonight. Are you the one, or should the broken and dying world out there, or should they wait for another? Because this is the time that we must rise up in the character, the likeness, and the image of the only true living everlasting Almighty God, where we can become a divine expression of the glory and of the image of the one who have created you. It's time to open your mouth and to speak and to send his word back into the spirit, so that it can produce the power. Listen, this is an immediate effect, because you are filled with the Spirit of God and you've been changed into the heavenly man, which means that if I now speak his word, the transformation is immediate. Don't wait. It must happen now. Pastor Chris, people saying, oh, your blessing is around the corner, don't wait. No, it has already taken place. In fact, it has already happened. Come on, Pastor Chris showed you this. The blessing has already manifested. What are you waiting for? Take it. And the way that you cause it to manifest is by speaking his word. You must proclaim it. You are the sole expression now. Jesus went back, going to the Father, and he said, but I'm not leaving you as orphans. But come and wait in the city of Jerusalem, Zion, which is now the church, until you are endued with power from on high, until you receive the promise of whom you have heard me speak of, and my Father will send the Allos Parakletos, another helper that is just like me, and that is my spirit, says Jesus Christ, that will conform you into my image, so that you can walk here on this earth as I have. Come on, church. I hope that you are hearing me this night. I pray the church will come forth, as Paul have said, that I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He's saying that I will not stop praying until the church come forth in the full radiance and the glory and in the image of Christ. That is who you are. Amen. They must close off. And there's so much more. Just stand with me. I hope that you guys gotten something out of it. Let this word tonight not remain letter. Yeah, I pray, God, let this word not remain letter.